Hello and welcome to another edition of Living the Gospel of Life. I'm Brian Gibson, Executive Director of Pro-Life Action Ministries.
And I'm Angela Erickson, a homeschooling mom, podcaster, and board member for Pro-Life Action Ministries.
How are you, Angela?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Doing well, better. I was sick for about
a week. I even put on my radio voice this morning.
And we are so grateful for that. Everybody listening.
I always say I sound a lot better than I look, so thank God for radio.
Yeah. I have a face for the newspapers. Anyhow, yes. Upcoming activities we've got going on. Again, reminders for everybody listening to come out and join in. You know, right now, with abortion being so critical, so as far as in the news, so much being on the forefront on so many people's minds, this whole post-Dobbs thing, now is the time to come out and really show presence at the events and so forth that we've got going on. So the first one is September 10th. This will be a Saturday morning beginning at 10 a.m., and this is at Resurrection Cemetery, and it's the National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children. This will be graveside, where the remains of 13 aborted babies were given a dignified burial after a funeral, after we had found them in the trash dumpster behind the Robbinsdale abortion facility many years ago. So National Day of Remembrance, again, Saturday, September 10th, beginning at 10 a.m. We pray. It is just moving as can be to be present for this.
It really is. Yeah.
And then we've got our 40 Days for Life Twin Cities coming up, and this will begin on Wednesday, September 28th at 6 p.m. We're doing a candlelight vigil to start the 40 Days for Life off. It lasts all the way until November 6th, which is a Sunday, and at 3 p.m. we'll have our closing rally out there. This is at the Vandalia Planned Parenthood, and it's our Adopt-A-Day fall campaign. So if you... if your church has not already adopted a day, again, go to your Respect Life group, go to your pastor, find out if it's possible. You know, don't be harsh about it, just ask about it and see if you can't sign up and take one of the days to have the church come out and take the vigil. So the vigil will be from 6 in the morning until 6 in the evening, and so every hour during that 12-hour period, we want to have at least two people out there praying. And so when a church adopts a day, or Knights of Columbus, or ACCW group, or whatever the group might be, maybe a youth group with the church, whatever that is, what you do is you agree to arrange so that there are two people praying every hour throughout that day. And we ask that you... And if that's all you're able to do with the Adopt-A-Day, that's perfectly fine. But we also ask that you encourage your pastor to take an hour of prayer out there as well, sometime, anytime during the day. If it's best for him to do it at 2 in the afternoon, then do it at 2 in the afternoon. So, or however that works for him. But it's the Adopt-A-Day, so jump right on in and see what you can do with that. And it's not like we don't have much going on, Angela.
It doesn't sound like it at all.
We have our Life Banquet coming up Monday, October 3rd. Our keynote speaker is going to be Sean Carney, who is the CEO of 40 Days for Life. So right there, as part of our 40 Days for Life that we're doing in the fall campaign, we're bringing in the big gun from 40 Days for Life National to share with us. And Sean, I've known Sean for many years now. He is a very articulate man. He is very powerful in presenting the case for prayer and activities at the abortion facilities, and you will love to hear it. This man is depicted in the movie Unplanned, if you remember. He was the one that Abby Johnson went to, and it was him and his wife that really moved her heart with their kindness while calling her gently away from being involved in killing babies. So Sean's got some great stories to tell. So
yeah, I'm excited to see him.
Now, this past Monday, Tuesday, we had the wake and the funeral for our good friend Bill Kelly, our staff member who was our SAWA counseling coordinator, passed away suddenly and unexpectedly a week ago, this past Sunday, or 2 weeks ago tomorrow. And Bill, good friend, but there's an amazing story about a baby saved that's related to this. So we're at the funeral.
I'm really excited to hear this.
We're at the funeral Tuesday. And after the funeral, you know, everybody's got their cell phones put away, shut off. We're praying. You know, we don't have that stuff with us. So after the funeral, start looking at emails that had come in while we were shut off from the world, thankfully. And here's an email from a sidewalk counselor who felt compelled to go out to the Brooklyn Park Planned Parenthood. Non-abortion day, okay? They do abortions one day a week at this Brooklyn Park location. It's Fridays. So this is Tuesday. But she felt compelled to go there instead of going to the funeral. She prayed about it, and she just thought, this is the better place for me to be, is to be out at this Planned Parenthood praying. So she goes out there, and she's praying. And this young woman shows up. And so she starts talking to the young woman, and it turns out this young woman had come to Planned Parenthood to schedule an abortion appointment. So she talks to her further and so forth, and the woman decides not to have an abortion. Now, I think, make my declaration right now, Bill was praying, you know, from heaven. Wherever he's at now that he is gone from this world, but Bill was praying and a baby was saved.
That is so beautiful.
The day of his funeral. Isn't that amazing? So, and I was sharing with some other people, Angela, you know, when this real bizarre thing happened, or bizarre statement was made to me in front of Planned Parenthood this past Wednesday. And so this kind of came to mind as well as part of this. So I'm out there sidewalk counseling. It's the end of my shift. I'm thanking people who've come out for the next shift to sidewalk counsel. I'm thanking prayer supporters who come out and pray. I like to do that. I like to take the time and just really encourage people and thank them for being out there when I'm out there. So I'm leaving, and this car comes driving slowly up Vandalia at the pace I'm walking, and the guy starts yelling out about something about, you know, we're all going to die alone, and on and on and on. I said, well, you're right, we're all going to die, but if you're not with God, you just become worm food. And he drove away, and it just hit me at that point in time. You know, when somebody who is denying God, denying Christ, is killing or advocating or supporting the killing of unborn children, when they die, nothing else is going to happen for them. Good. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
But when one of ours die, like Bill Kelly, when one of ours die, we gain a prayer warrior in heaven. Or praise from purgatory, God, yeah. Whichever the case might be in that person's life. So we actually gain a prayer warrior, and instead of just simply losing somebody. So just that thought I thought was important to have in mind there, because, you know, many people who have gone before us, who have been involved in this movement, who have done great work to try and save babies from being killed, and they're still working at it. You know, it didn't come to an end when they passed from this life into the next. It actually increased, I think. So, you know, they're able to pray constantly.
That's such a beautiful thought.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and they get to see the face of God, you know. That's why the prayer of the saints, that intercessory prayer, is so much more powerful.
Yeah, the prayer of the righteous one. Well, Angela, I would like to do some political advertisement fact-checking, okay? Now, I'm going to give my disclaimer. In describing this, we are not going to say who this advertisement is against or who it is for. As a nonprofit, I'm not allowed to campaign for or against any candidate. Okay, that's just completely barred. But I want to talk about the content of this and the message that's in it, and that's what I want to talk about. So there's a political ad out there right now that is talking about banning abortions. And I think if anybody is even watching for these, they pop up on your cell phone, they've been on the TV. I'm not sure if they've been on the radio, but probably as well. But in the ad, they got several people, all women, who talk about how horrible it is to be banning abortions or the idea of banning abortions. Mm. And so one of the women in this ad is identified as Dr. Singh. Well, I looked up Dr. Singh here in Minnesota. And Dr. Anuja Singh, who's an obstetric and gynecology doctor specialist, in this ad states that banning abortion would be very bad for her practice. Angelo, do you want to know? Here's the fact that is missing in the ad. You want to know why it's very bad for her business? She works for Planned Parenthood.
You got to tell me.
She works for Planned Parenthood. Most likely she's...
Well, at least she's being honest.
Well, except that's not in the ad. That's left out of the ad. She just is identified as being an OBGYN. Well, okay, wait a minute. She's most likely an abortionist at Planned Parenthood, and of course it's going to be bad for her. It's bad for her pocket. It's bad for her making money for herself. Right. It's bad for being able to buy her next fancy car or the clothing that she wants to wear and junk like that. So, yeah, of course it's bad for her. But I thought it was just real important to point out that the credence of her claim is seriously destroyed when you find out who she really is, right?
Oh, exactly. Yep. Well, and we talk about that all the time. You know, Planned Parenthood claims that only 3% of their services are abortion, yet somehow, like, over 50% of their profits come from abortion.
Are related to it, yes.
So it's not a small thing for them. It is their primary income apart from donations and government funding.
And along that same line, if it was only 3% of their services, is the way they state it, then in the states where abortion has been severely restricted or banned, the 13 or 14 states already that have done that, why are Planned Parenthoods closing up everywhere?
Right. You know?
So that's certainly part of it. Now, in this same ad, there is a second person I want to pick on a little bit. Now, the name is Kristen, and the identity is Minnesota teacher. So you got Kristen, Minnesota teacher. And she states, women should not be criminalized for having an abortion. Okay. This person's a teacher in our schools, folks. This is not good.
She's an educator.
So let's educate her by educating everybody listening right now. Not one single state law in the United States that restricts or bans abortions, but at whatever level, ever criminalizes the woman for having gone through an abortion. Ever. None do. There.
That's right.
I got it off my chest.
I know. Got that one off. Like, yeah. It's just, it's so dishonest. And it is the season, right? It's the season of dishonesty. Right as you're getting ready for another election cycle. But we have to be able to call this stuff out where we see it. And everyone needs to be doing this. We can't let these sort of ideas gain traction the way that people who are pro-choice would like them to. I don't know how we can continue to be parroting these same ideas over and over again, election after election, that women are being criminalized for abortion and that, that there's no vested interest from these abortion doctors, abortionists. They're not incentivized to perform abortions, but the reality is that they are.
Yes, that's very true. So, you know, and again, I'm going to be very careful how I say this because I'm not allowed to say who the politicians are and give any credence to supporting campaigns or going against campaigns. But I would say if I were running for office and this ad were an attack ad against me, I'd be proud. So I'd be very proud of that. So, Interesting. Well, hey, we've got some other stories here as well. We've got a report that Live Action has put out, and this is a very important report talking about how company benefits have increased, or how companies across the country have increased abortion benefits, while at the same time have been scaling back maternity and parental benefits. This is a big deal. There's a Wall Street Journal report that that surveyed 3,000 employers and found that only 35% now offer paid maternity leave benefits that's greater than what's mandated by federal law, which is very little. The federal mandate is basically you get time off and you get to have your job back when you come back. You know, that's
it. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So but it's 53% lower than it was in 2020. So since 2020, employers have been reducing what they're willing to pay in maternity leave and parental benefits. And they pick on one company in particular, showing it, Hulu. Hulu is a streaming movie,
video
TV thing,
service,
right?
Yeah.
It's a subsidiary of Disney, which used to be a very family-friendly company, which it doesn't seem to be anymore. But again, according to the same report, Hulu has cut its paid parental leave policy from 20 weeks down to just 8 weeks, a 60% reduction.
Wow.
And they're willing to pay for people to go have abortions. Women, of course. I know.
Right.
The current language.
Well, this is really no surprise because, you know, first of all, a company only has so much money to move around for health things for their employees without making their employees, you know, suffer in terms of either wage loss or things like that. But also, this is why, you know, for me anyway, I get why people use the term pro-life feminism, but, you know, feminism at its core is really rooted in abortion. It doesn't matter what qualifiers you put with it, because at the end of the day, you wouldn't have women in the workforce in mass if it were not for abortion.
Yeah.
And it's very lucrative for a business to pay for abortions, because then they get their worker back and their worker is not leaving for sick time or childcare issues and things like that. And two, then they're not having to provide as much maternity leave and, you know, all the expenses that come with that as well. And it's ironic because these same people would argue that out in Europe, you know, the maternity leave laws are so much better for women and allow them time to bond with their children and all that stuff, which is true. I mean, that's true. That there's more opportunity for that. But they're not fighting for that here. They're fighting for more abortion rights here. And really, abortion is the thing that keeps them being another cog in the wheel for their bosses. I think, G.K. Chesterton kind of made this note. He said something along the lines of how women would rather be a slave for their bosses than to their husbands and children. And that's what we're seeing today.
Yeah, absolutely. And then to add to this, we now have 5 known colleges that are doing the same thing. They're willing to pay for students' travel to go have abortions. We've got the College of Worcester, Kenyon College, Oberlin College, the University of Idaho, and Vanderbilt University.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and Oberlin's from near my hometown of Columbus, Ohio, so I'm very familiar with that one. They're now lining up to start claiming or stating that they will pay for travel to go have abortions. And then in California, they're preparing to be offering chemical abortions, the abortion pill, on all the college campuses, all the public college campuses in the California State College program. Sad.
You know, this kind of makes me think of what we talked about last week a little bit, where you have people who are pro-choice always accusing pro-lifers of not doing enough to support women in those situations where she does choose life and all that. We kind of rolled our eyes because, of course, here we have pregnancy centers existing 11 to 1 here in the state of Minnesota. And it's like, well, what more do you want us to do right now? We're doing all the stuff. We're doing all the support stuff. And it's kind of the same thing with these colleges. I mean, these are the same people who would accuse us of not doing enough. And yet, look at them. They're not providing any sort of assistance, and not in a meaningful way, to help these young women. They are coercing them into abortion. They're cornering them into that.
And for very,
and they would never admit that.
And for very little extra time or money, they could be making it more than possible and workable for young pregnant women who are on college campuses to continue with their pregnancy and become young mothers and continue to finish their degrees and everything. It is not expensive, and it is not difficult for the colleges to do that. Yet they'll pay the expense.
No.
They'll go have babies killed. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And I think too, as a movement, we need to get out of this mindset of always being on the defensive. Be on the offensive and start asking these people why they're not doing more. You know, the next time somebody who's pro-choice asks you why you're not doing enough, why you're not adopting all the children that are placed for adoption, or whatever, you know, this we need to start asking them the hard question of why aren't you doing anything if you say you're pro-choice? Why are you only fighting for abortion?
Right. Exactly. And of course, they like to accuse us of not caring for women. And we don't even need to answer that question. It's not even...
We don't.
Because
we don't even need to dignify it.
Yeah, we do care for women. So we don't need to be all defensive and make that our advertising campaign and all that stuff. I mean, if you're a pregnancy help center,
you
want to reach out to all the women that
then,
are
out
there.
Then, yeah, it makes sense.
Absolutely. But the whole movement... We don't have to apologize for the fact that we already do these things. We need to take care of the baby because that's who's being killed. You know, that's our focal point.
And
our taking care of women is natural. Our taking care of the poor is natural. Our taking care of the downtrodden, those who are in trouble, those who are in difficult situations. We take care of everybody. Isn't that what we're called to do in our basic Christian life? Is we're supposed to love everyone as we are loving Christ. We don't need to explain it any further than that.
Right.
So,
call them to more.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and of course, they keep using the terminology reproductive rights or reproductive justice. Well, look, folks, somebody that decides to have a baby is engaging in reproductive freedom, right? I mean, that is the ultimate of reproductive freedom. And every single woman who ever has an abortion already has reproduced.
Exactly.
That's why the abortion comes into play in the first place, right? So...
Well, yeah, I mean, people say that to me all the time. Oh, are you going to have more? Do you really think you need to have more? It's like, my body, my choice, I thought.
Exactly.
Why can't I have more kids if I want more kids?
Well, in Michigan, and we've talked about this in the past couple of weeks already, Michigan has had a ballot measure that was put forward that was going to enshrine abortion in the Michigan state constitution. So this is a constitutional amendment ballot process as they do it in Michigan, different than we do it here in Minnesota. And it required signatures from so many people out there to put it on the ballot. Well, there were problems with how it was written and the lack of punctuation and everything else. So it was challenged before the Michigan State Elections Board, and they voted in a tie vote to not allow it to go onto the November ballot. Now, because it was a tie vote, it was basically split between two Republicans and two Democrats. Guess who voted which way? It now will go to the Michigan State Supreme Court. So they're calling this the Reproductive Freedom for All campaign. But again, this measure is so poorly written, people may have signed it not knowing what they were signing at all. And that's the point behind that, as well as the way it's written is the way it's supposed to end up being in their state constitution. And it's gibberish. So I don't know how it could be accepted, but we'll see what happens. We'll see if they're, you know, pray for their state Supreme Court to do the right thing as opposed to going along with the radical pro-abortion movement that's now sweeping in so many places around the country while others where we're seeing abortion banned or severely restricted. So speaking of some of those states, New Mexico's been a horrible situation, just as Minnesota has been, Illinois, California, New York, and so forth. Many abortion facilities have opened up in New Mexico as they've closed in Texas and Louisiana and Oklahoma and all these other states, not too terribly distant from New Mexico. And the latest is that the governor, Michelle Grisham, has ordered the use of up to $10 million to help pay for abortion facilities to be opened up in the state. There's one just to let you think about. $10 million to open more abortion facilities in their state. Just
That's
crazy.
That's tragic.
Now, when it comes to having honest results or honest statistics regarding abortion, the United States is not the place to be. Okay, we don't get clear, honest statistics in the United States. We get estimations. Now, Minnesota has some very good, honest statistics in our reporting law, but most states don't have reporting laws anywhere near what Minnesota has, and some actually have, like California, refused to report what's going on with their abortions. Okay, so getting honest statistics here in the United States are hard, but in Europe, it isn't so bad. Actually, we can get some very good statistics, and we're now seeing that ambulance calls responding to abortion pill injuries in England have risen 64% since 2019.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Abortion pill injuries in the UK, ambulance calls have risen by 64%. So it's
it's a good thing we've deregulated it here pretty much, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you know, this and exactly.
Thanks. Under to this administration.
Yep, under the Biden administration, just send them out by mail. We don't care.
Right.
Right.
That, and again, this goes back to, do you really care about women? Yeah, we do. We care about the baby, but we also care about the women.
Yeah.
And women are always, it just sort of feels like women are always the unwitting science experiment.
Seems
when it
to
comes
be.
To our fertility. Seems I mean, we really be. Are. We sign ourselves up. Yeah. It's unreal.
Yeah. And so this is, you know, and the increases are just amazing. Of course, corresponding to that increase of ambulance calls is the increase of the use of the abortion pill, of course. But
of course, yeah.
But we also are
seeing, because they're told it's safer, you know.
Yeah, it's supposed to be super. It's safer than anything. That's why we have them, right? It's why we can freely give them out by postal mail and out of vans running around the state and things like that.
Or on college campuses out of vending machines.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but it's just it's
unfathomable. That's a whole
another
thing too. I mean, the vending machine thing, it's like, how many of these are getting slipped into women's drinks and stuff like that by boyfriends who don't want to deal with their children?
Oh,
you know?
No. No man.
That would never happen.
No man would ever do that. Yeah. Or yeah, even a girlfriend, for that matter. Who knows who's going to do it? But exactly. Yeah. The opportunity for abuse is off the charts. And it's unfortunately is what's being dealt with at this point in time. So one last quick story here. Federal court has ruled, U.S. District Court has ruled that California must exempt churches from providing abortion coverage. They cannot force religious organizations, especially churches, from being mandated to provide abortion coverage in their health care. So praise God for that step right there. It's all the time we have today. Thank you for listening to us on Living the Gospel of Life. And God bless you.
Attention, Twin Cities. You are invited to the 11th annual Christ Brings Hope Banquet to benefit Relevant Radio. Join Father Rocky, Drew Mariani, Timri Jaja, Father Simon, Glenn Leverance, and Paul Sadek on Thursday, September 15th. Sponsor a table and select your favorite local Catholic school to receive matching funds. Details and sponsorship opportunities available at the relevantradio.com events tab. Select Minnesota. Christ Brings Hope, September 15th. Register today.